Hello, and welcome to the Creative Viz podcast, where we talk about architecture, development, and visual design. Today, I'm pleased to have Allison Emmerich. She is the Director of Marketing and Communications with Greenberg Gibbons in Baltimore, Maryland. Welcome, Allison. Great to see you.
Great to see you, too. Thanks for having me.
You bet. I understand Greenberg Gibbons is very focused on retail. I'd love to hear a bit more about your role and how retail is doing so far in 2024.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Greenberg Gibbons is a premier real estate developer, owner, and manager specializing in retail, mixed-use, residential, and commercial properties, specifically throughout the East Coast. I've been with the company now just over 12 years, which is wild and really exciting to see us in this state of growth that we're in. And a lot of it does have to do with the fact that retail is doing exceptionally well right now. I think that you're seeing the reports out there that are saying it's one of the best asset classes in our industry. And I think we're feeling the same way here at Greenberg Gibbons. Last year in 2023, we had the best leasing momentum that we've had in maybe over 15 years. And I think we're continuing to ride that wave in 2024.
That's great. What a difference just a few years make, because it was hit so hard in the pandemic. So you're seeing strong demand for brick and mortar retail.
We are. And I think that with some of the trends in terms of less new construction taking place in our industry, we're seeing this pinch where businesses need a home. And a lot of the existing vacancy that's out there right now is really appealing. So I think we're seeing a lot of success with leasing for that reason alone.
That's great. Sounds like it's a mix of existing properties that you're acquiring, potentially repositioning. Are there new developments as well that are in the works?
Yeah. So a fun fact is, kind of coming out of the thick of the pandemic, our president actually saw an opportunity to really diversify our portfolio and expand our capabilities as a company. So we started an investment fund, which really allowed us to expand up and down the East Coast and step outside of just the Mid-Atlantic region, which is really exciting for us as a company and as a business. But that being said, I think that it gave us the opportunity to really sit back and think about what our strategy is going forward. And so despite some of the negativity that might be surrounding new development, we're still very bullish on new development, and we actually have about 4.7 million square feet of new development in our pipeline.
That's great. I want to touch on the new markets here in a sec, but I am curious, how has the tenant mix changed over the last few years? I've heard anecdotally that experience retail is performing especially well, restaurants, things like that. Are you seeing that as well?
Yeah, I think you're spot on, Scott. The experiential factor, whether it's a tenant itself or within our center, I think is super important. We're seeing a lot more of that experiential. So whether it be a new restaurant, a concept that bridges the entertainment with the dining experience, I think you're seeing companies like Dick's Sporting Goods coming out with House of Sport, which is a really cool concept right now. So bridging that gap between soft goods and experience. We're also seeing that just convenience and service are huge for us as well. So convenience, whether you're talking about a grocery store, as that kind of spills into service with medical, maybe it's beauty services, pretty much those products that you can't get online.
Exactly. I was going to say the same thing. Something you can't get on Amazon.
Exactly.
Great. Well, do tell us about some of the new markets that the Greenberg Gibbons is pursuing.
Yeah. So we started our first investment fund back in 2021, which was a lot of fun just being able to explore new markets again outside of Mid-Atlantic territory. So we ended up in the Carolinas and as far south as Florida. And as far north as Rhode Island, we just recently acquired a project just outside of Nashville called Cool Springs Point. So that is probably the latest acquisition as far west as we've gotten. But that being said, we're definitely continuing to look up and down throughout the East Coast, north, south, and even as west as Indianapolis.
Okay. So central time zone there. Interesting. What does Greenberg Givens look for with site selection, both existing or potentially a new development?
So I think for us, it does depend. I mean, when it comes to our development projects, one of the things that Greenberg Givens has become known for is this idea of revitalizing a site. So for us, community is huge. It's one of our core pillars. And so anytime that we can go into a market and take a hole in the ground, or maybe it's a dilapidated site that no longer services the community, we want to take that. And our vision is to turn that into what will become a mixed use gathering place for the community. So it's really finding a way to take something that's kind of fallen apart and put it back together for the community. As far as acquisitions goes, we still really strongly believe in the grocery anchored centers.
So I can only imagine there's a deep pool of distressed retail in this moment. So are you finding it not so difficult to find acquisition opportunities?
I think there's ebbs and flows. I think that there was this opportunity coming out of the pandemic to start the fund and really acquire projects that nobody else was going after. And then I think the rest of the world caught on and we saw this influx and a lot more friendly competition out there buying these assets. And so there's still a little bit of that, but I think it only pushes us harder to make sure that we're going after the right deal in the right market.
Yeah, and every site's a little different, but are there criteria? Do you look for access to transportation, housing, any metrics like that when you're picking and choosing opportunities?
Yeah, for us, all of that's incredibly important. I think that for us specifically, we do have a focus on retail-led mixed-use projects. So our business is about partnerships. We have a robust mixed-use development pipeline where we intend to build additional uses that help complement that mixed use environment. So just kind of going back, thinking about how we're expanding some of our capabilities. I think that any time that there's an opportunity where we can, whether it's partnering with another organization to do a residential piece at the site or hotel or commercial, that's really appealing to us.
I'm thinking of, say, an old, well-located, but seen a better day, a retail center. You might come in, rehab it, reposition it. And are you possibly adding residential or hotel, other uses to existing sites like that?
Yeah, definitely. One of the things that I think is super important is that, you know, we've constantly got to reevaluate our portfolio and figure out ways that we can evolve. And so whether that's repositioning the center and re-merchandising the businesses that are there and just setting what that merchandising strategy is to an overhaul in the common area and even densifying the project. So we have a project actually out of Baltimore County, Maryland, where we were able to add residential back. I think it was like 2014. Mm-hmm. And since in the last couple of years have now added a senior living component and another residential component to that as well. And so those apartments should be opening next year in 2020. Really complementing the center and its use.
Yeah, that's an interesting observation. So the addition of those uses, obviously that's a revenue stream, but it actually makes the retail itself perform better.
Correct. And I think from there, it really plays into the overall retail strategy as well. It's who are we bringing that complements those uses. So it comes full circle.
I can imagine. So tell us a bit about the challenges that you guys are running into when we talk about density, densifying older sites. That can be really challenging. How are you tackling that?
Yeah, when it comes to any kind of new development, I think that you're running up against rising interest rates. And so that's definitely been an issue for the industry as a whole. That being said, you're also seeing less new construction because of the rising construction costs as it relates to goods and labor. And so we're seeing that just like anybody else. I think you're also seeing that permits and entitlements are sometimes delayed when it comes to that new development. And so it definitely doesn't deter our company. We still have plenty in the pipeline and feel that there's no reason to slow down. We do believe that construction costs will come down over the course of the year, mostly for goods. I wouldn't say labor. That's probably right. Gone as high. But yeah, I would say those are probably the biggest challenges that we're facing. And I think all it does is force you to become more creative with your strategy.
Well, that is encouraging. Do you run into community opposition with some of these projects? Increased traffic, increased multifamily brings concerns sometimes from the existing community. How are you tackling that as well?
Yeah, I think that what helps Greenberg Gibbons is just how involved with the community we are from the very beginning of a project. So if it's a development project, we're meeting with the community as we're going through these hearings with the county or city or municipality. And so even moving forward, if we're adding to the site, we're attending community meetings or we're working with our elected officials. That's super important to us that we have the feedback from the community as we're working on the project. And so, yes, sometimes you do have especially individuals who have a reason as to why maybe they would oppose something. And it's up to us to really stop and listen to what their fears or concerns are and be able to work through whatever that is. And most times I would say that really it's just a matter of communicating and explaining to them exactly what's going to take place, that we've done the traffic study and that we have more than enough parking spaces on site. And sometimes just hearing that, I think, is helpful to understand. It is about the experience once you reach the site. So we want to make sure that when we go into a plan or a design, that it is appealing to the guest as well, it just and the tenant and their accessibility. So I would say we absolutely do get that kind of feedback. But luckily, we've been always able to work through it just by having those strong relationships.
That's great. Let's talk about marketing for a sec. When a new development or a reposition is about to go live, what are some of your strategies? How do you do your outreach for potential tenants? And is there any community outreach because they might be some of the people shopping at the development?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're working on a few of those cases now, those properties that are under development. And just actually recently, we opened a self-storage facility, the first in our portfolio at a center of ours, but Reisterstown Shopping Center. And I definitely think that visuals really aided us to be able to convey that this wasn't your traditional self-storage facility. It's a aesthetically pleasing building that really slides into the retail setting. And so far, we've had really positive feedback from the community. But without those renderings, I'm not sure they could have really visualized what we were trying to share with them, which is that not only is it an underserved market for self-storage, and so you're going to appreciate just how it helps on a day-to-day basis with coming to the center, but that it was so visually appealing and it wasn't going to be this back of house with boats and cars and things like that. So I think that definitely helps. When we're looking at prospective tenants, we are putting together marketing brochures, specialty marketing pieces that really show them not only the success of Greenberg Gibbons and how we're a great partner as a landlord, but also to really show kind of the positioning of the center in the market and what their positioning within the center will look like. And so everything from sharing the demographics and the co-tenancy that's of the project, but also using visuals to show them maybe how their sign will look and how that visibility from the main access or highway and how well that reads. So visuals are probably one of our best friends in that.
Well, I couldn't agree anymore. That's great. Yeah. So it really does. It really does come down to communication. That's what I'm hearing.
It does. It does.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
That's a big word in what I do. I agree for giving and I really enjoy it. But I think with communication comes listening and hand in hand.
Awesome. Well said. Thank you. Well, I'd love to hear about some of your recent success stories. We were talking a minute ago about the Sea Turtle project in Hilton Head. Please tell us a little bit more about that.
Sorry. When we acquired Sea Turtle Marketplace on Hilton Head Island back in 2022, everyone at the company raised their hand that they would go down there and personally visit themselves. So if you've ever been to Hilton Head, it's a beautiful island. And so the center in itself is beautiful as well. It's a 99,000 square foot shopping center. It, at the time that we acquired it, it had PetSmart and West Marine, Starbucks, Orange Theory Fitness, but it was only 46% leased and it was capital starved. And so when we acquired the project, we saw a lot of opportunity in filling some of these bigger box vacancies. And we were able to add Golf Galaxy, HomeSense, and there was an undeveloped parcel that we've now signed Aldi to. So now we've gone from a power center that was 46% leased to a 98% leased grocery anchored center. And I think, as I shared with you earlier, in a couple of weeks, that will be 100%.
Oh my God.
Huge success, all in all for us.
Even better. Yeah. 100%. Can't do better than that. I know Hilton Head can be really challenging. Just zoning, land use is very, very strict on the island. Signage is a particularly sensitive topic. Every project is different, but this one, I imagine it stands out. Were there any unique challenges associated with the redevelopment there?
I think we're still going through it. We just signed all of these, so we're just kind of underway with some of those plans. It's definitely a territory that our company is all too familiar with in terms of going through the process with the municipality. And so I think that this is just the same for us.
You're ready for it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, as we start to wrap things up, I'd love to hear any other kind of positive vibes that you might have for us. I know it's been a really challenging time for the development industry as a whole, but it sounds like you guys have weathered it especially well. What do you see coming up in the rest of your pipeline for 24 or even 25?
Yeah, I think, like I mentioned, we have about 4.7 million square feet under development in our pipeline. And I think that overall, we're just really excited to be kind of ahead of the curve. I think that there are a lot of companies out there that have refrained and sat back from new development. I think we see it as an opportunity to just continue on our path as usual. It's been a few years since we've had a new development project. So I think being able to see this mixed use masterpiece in different markets come to life, I think is really cool. We're really enjoying AI a lot. I think that there's a number of ways that we're using it to our advantage. And I think a lot of other companies are as well. But one of my favorite softwares is Placer AI. If you're familiar with it, we've used it now several times to our benefit. There's a report on Placer AI called A Day in a Life video. And so we are using that to help renew tenants. We actually had a situation where we had an existing tenant. They were against us bringing a fitness user to the center because they thought that the hours would overlap and it would impact their parking. And we were able to use A Day in a Life video to show them that that wouldn't be the case. And we got the waiver from them. So I think that there's a lot of good out there coming up in the pipeline and looking forward to seeing kind of how the industry turns.
That's great. So it's not just coming for our jobs.
No. I mean, as any marketer would say, I think it's a lovely, I'm loving all of the memes out there on AI right now. But I think AI does a lot of good. I think that it's fun to see. I mean, if you look at what's going on in our industry, JLL just worked with a company called Imaginuity to create a virtual influencer. And I've had a lot of fun following that. And I think that the more that these cases take place, I think the more accessible and affordable it will be for the rest of the industry. And so I think there's a lot of good. Now, at the same time, I think just the other day, just like anybody else, there are things we love about ChatGPT or some of these other AIs. But I think we went to do an image and the woman had three heads and three hands.
Oh, no.
So I think you have to be careful. You have to monitor. It's a tool, but it's not a replacement.
No, but not by any means. Oh my gosh. Well, I'm afraid that's all the time we have today. I could talk about AI and property tech for an hour. But thank you so much, Allison. It's great to see you. Really appreciate your insights and congratulations. Really great to hear that you guys are doing so well.
Yes. Thank you so much for having us. I'm excited to speak with you again a year from now and see where we're at. And I appreciate you having me.
Awesome. Let's do it. Thank you again, Allison.